We're going to call this or title it, Run the Race. Run the Race. You kind of know probably where I'm going to go for those verses today. So would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 3. You can pull up your app. I think it's up there already. Or if you have your Bible set, that's excellent. It reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You will not grow weary and lose heart." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The author here begins with the word therefore, an indication of something that came before. And if you go back to chapter 11, you know what it's called. You enter the Faith Museum Hall of Fame. You open doors to galleries that pay homage to the faithful, from Abraham to Samuel, from Rahab to David. The inscriptions on each display give you details about many things that each of them did to exemplify their faith in God. Chapter 11 ends by stating that these mighty men and women of faith did not get to receive what they had been promised, which we all know is Jesus, because that promise was planned for you and me. When we get to the top of chapter 12, which we just read, this Faith Hall of Famers are witnesses who believed the promise of Jesus by faith. We are the recipients of that promise. Abraham and all those mentioned in chapter 11 got to believe in the promise of Jesus. The disciples who lived in Jesus' time got to live alongside that promise. We get to receive his ministry, Jesus' salvation, his message, by faith. The second part of verse 1 then, it's underlined there, is encouraging us who have received Jesus to run the race marked out for us. And then verse 2 tells us to do so by faith. What then should you and I do as we run this race? What should we do in 2017? What should we do for the rest of our lives so that this race that has been cut out for us, that we can run it indeed in faith? So I'm going to take a few thoughts from those underlined verses and share them with you this evening and hope that they will bless you as much as they have. And disclosure here. I'm not going to tell you who. And by the way, I have no stories in this, because the more I thought about stories, the more I thought about some people who are looking at me right now, and either I was going to embarrass you, embarrass myself, or embarrass both of us, so I stayed away from stories. You can stop smiling now, because you know I'm talking about you. But in any case, the outline of this, I'm so afraid to call it a message, but anyway, the outline of this is taken from someone that I listen to a lot. So I'm not going to tell you who. My pastor does that a lot. He says, I'm not going to tell you who because you're going to go look for who it is, and then you'll find all the things I did not do right. So we're just going to leave it there. But anyway, the outline of it are things that I had someone preach at the beginning of the year at some point. And I thought about them, and I've used them, or I kind of remind myself about them. And because my job is not to sit down every week and prepare a message for anyone except myself, I thought I would share this once with you. So it's a borrowed message, but the fleshing of it, I did that. And if it's messed up, it's my fault. So anyway, some thoughts about running the race. Point number one that I want to make is run today's race today. Run today's race today. In case you forgot, it's already the 15th of January, 2017. 15 days have gone by already. The race you're in is for today. It's not for 2016. It is not for 2015. It's not for 1975. And it's surely not for 2020. It is a race for today. Psalms 128 and verse 4 tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made. And it's true that you're probably dealing with things today, or something that's happening to you today is being dictated by something that happened in 2009. But this is the day that the Lord has made. And maybe you did not live up to every one of your resolutions in 2016, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And perhaps your anticipations for something that you're looking to come in the future is bringing great anxiety to you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And you know how the verse ends, don't you? It says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Or we should rejoice and be glad in it. So as you run today's race today, remember that this also is your race. It's not my mother's race. It's not my sister's race. It's not my niece's race. It's not all these friends of mine in this room race. My race is my race, and your race is your race. The verse says, you don't have to go back to that, but that verse says, the race that has been cut out for you, not for you and your wife, not for you and your husband. I probably shouldn't say that because I'm not married, so I have no idea. But anyway, not for you and anybody else. It's for you and you alone. So as you run it, remember that it's your race. No one else has been given your race, and in the same way, you have not been given anyone else's race. And don't make the mistake that many of us make when we are running a race. Do not compare yourself to others. Purpose to do that in 2017. We are all at different points in this race. And there's always someone who's farther along than you are, and there's always someone who's farther back than you are. Comparing doesn't make you better. It does one of two things. It maybe makes you feel inadequate when you compare yourself, you know, with people who are born again when they came out of their mother's womb. Then you're like, I can never do that, right? Or it makes you have a false sense of confidence when you look at someone who, you know, turned their life to Christ yesterday and you're thinking, I'm so much better than that person. So it does one of two things. It gives you a false sense of confidence if you compare, or it makes you feel like you're inadequate. But if you must compare, you know who to compare yourself to. If you're a believer, compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And the moment that you do that, that's when you realize how inadequate you are. But the good thing about God is the moment you feel inadequate, His grace is right there. And He tells you, I will walk this journey with you. And if that last song that praise and worship sang at the beginning, right, it really just made me really appreciate that, that God is with me. This is His world. I am in His hands. He's sovereign, and He's given me everything that I need to be able to run the race. So run today's race today. Point number two is prepare for the race. You and only you are responsible for preparing for the race. No one ever begins a race without being prepared mentally and physically. In the same way, you and I must prepare for the race that God has set before us. And because our race is spiritual, we must prepare by studying the Word. We must prepare by staying in prayer. We must prepare by doing what we're doing today, which is being in fellowship with one another, so that you can help me along the way and others can help me along the way. Thank you so much. I get what I brought to myself. I feel so nice. Thanks. Preparation also requires that you know what God has deposited in you, right? Your gifts, your talents, your possessions have been given to you so that you can enjoy them, but most importantly, so that you can share them for ministry to others. As you prepare, take stock of what you have, just like Moses did when he recognized that there was a stick in his hand, a rod, a staff. That which you have has been given to you to enhance your race. It is what God's going to use for your race. And that's why, again, it's important not to compare with other people, because once you start comparing, if Moses has a rod and you have a jawbone like Samson did, then you don't know what to do with which. But you need to know what's in your hands so that you can do what it is that God wants you to do. So yes, make your resolutions, but do have a plan for how to accomplish them. And more importantly, ask God to go with you every step of the way. So prepare for the race. Run today's race today. and also prepare for the race. Point number three, run with endurance. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe I'll just raise mine. But how many of you have already fallen off the tracks of some of the resolutions that you made for 2017 in 15 days? Running the race is often frustrating. I run sometimes, but I remember hating running when I was a child in school. And if you went to school in Kenya, you remember games time, right? And for us, we used to have to wear a tunic and bloomers, and I just told you how old I am by saying that, because I don't think they dress like that anymore. I did not like games time. Days for clubs, I loved. Days for games, did not love them. And those of you who are born here would go to school all day long, and at the end of the day, there would be an hour or 90 minutes for games or clubs or things of that nature, just so you know. I didn't like that games time. I didn't like running around the track, and I did not like cross country. If my mother was not my mother, when they told us to go for cross country, I would have taken my things and gone home. But she would have asked me, why are you home? So, you know, school is not out, so I had to do what I had to do. So I did everything not to run. I took the longest time changing, so that way the 90 minutes was now 70, and I didn't have to run as much. And I would walk the roundabout way, probably leave where I was changing from and walk all the way around so that by the time I got to the track, time was up. By the way, the quickest way to not have endurance is to not practice, is to take the long way, is to take a long time changing, doing things that are not helping you learn to endure. So that did not build my endurance at all. Physical endurance is not built in comfort at all. It's not built by sitting on the couch watching P90X and eating popcorn out of a bucket. I'm kind of telling you some of the things that I've done. Physical endurance requires that you grab some weights, it requires that you jump some rope, it requires that you do some push-ups, and it requires that, yes, you run. And so it is with this race, this spiritual race, this race of life. Do not give up when the hills and the mountains show up. Keep on going. After a few hills, you learn to pace yourself accordingly, you learn to breathe efficiently as a runner should, and yes, you run to endure. And speaking of pacing, because this race is more like a marathon, so the Christian race, when you talk about races, it's really not often a sprint. We think of a marathon because we have a long way to go. If God gives you 90 years, you're going to be at this for a while. So it's a marathon. There are places where you pick up your pace, and then there are places where you kind of slow it down. And research shows that there is an internal mechanism in your brain when you're a runner that helps you calculate what pace to take. So there are some that suggest, by the way, I find this amazing that people decided to study running. Right? In Kenya, they just put us on the field and told us, go. And I keep thinking, if someone had told me how to run, maybe. Because I meet people and say, hey, I'm Patricia and I'm Kenyan. And the first thing they want to say is, oh, by the way, do you run? I said, oh, I'm the Kenyan that doesn't run. I'm that Kenyan. They said, no, but your body is built for running. I'm like, oh, apparently long legs. Who knew that, right? Who knew that the long legs are made for running? And yeah, anyway. Research shows that there's an internal mechanism in your brain that helps marathoners know how to calculate the pace as they run, Ben Kibunja, 26.2 miles. Why? I don't know. But anyway, apparently there's a mechanism. And so what they suggest is that as you're starting off, your first mile should be the pace that you have decided that you're going to run. So you're going to run ultra marathoners. A five-minute mile. I mean, does this blow your mind like it does? Like, who runs a five-minute mile? But anyway, they do. So if you're going to run, then you know you're going to run a five-minute mile, that your first mile should be at your pace. And then once you're done with that, you don't really slow down. You kind of keep building up, thinking that at mile 20, right, which is when most people hit their wall. Again, people study this stuff. At mile 20, you don't want to have so much, you don't want to be so far behind that you have to do a lot of catching up, because you might not. And you don't want to be so far ahead that you're thinking, I'll slow myself down, because once you start slowing down at mile 20, you also cannot catch up. Why did I tell you all that? Because I read it. So there you have it. Do whatever you want with it. But anyway, so there's a pacing. And I think in this spiritual race, in this life race, there's a pacing that goes with it too. Endurance in this race requires that I keep pushing forward every single day. That's my pace. Every single day, keep pushing forward. And remember the words of Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because God is on your side. So, what are the three things that I said, if I can remember them? Run today's race today, prepare for the race, and run with endurance. Don't concern yourself with the past. Don't concern yourself with the past. Now, someone wrote a song begging the woman that he loved not to leave him after he had done her wrong. He laments that he knows he did wrong, and the lyrics of the song includes these words: I shoulda, I coulda, I woulda. We all have our shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And sometimes what we should have done, what we should have, what we would have been, and what we could have said are kind of like chains tethered to our ankles, and the more we want to run forward, the more they pull us back, especially if we keep them there. They drag us back into our past that we are trying to get away from as we run our race. So today, don't fail to run your race because of your past. Look at the patriarchs and matriarchs mentioned in faith, faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember how Abraham and Sarah kind of found a way for themselves? God had promised them a son. It took forever and a day. And when it took forever and a day, they decided, hey, let's get Hagar, let's get this thing going, and now we have a son. But God did not hold that against them and not keep the promise. They had done what they did, but he didn't hold their past against them, and you shouldn't either. So even with that as part of their past, God still gave them Isaac, the true son of promise. Abraham's past did not stop God from keeping his promise. And furthermore, Abraham, long after, remember, he was what? Was he 100 when he had Isaac? So if we think of Isaac, if he's going to carry wood as they go up, he must be probably 15, 16. He's a big boy, right? So Abraham is now 116 at least. And he knows if this son dies, right, based on what we know, he'll probably not have another child. But that past of his had taught him that God was so faithful, Abraham was willing to lay his son down and have him die. So let your past teach you to believe in God, because that's what God's going to do with it. Don't let it be the thing that holds you back. And how about Jacob? Trickster from the day he was born, came out grabbing onto his brother's leg. He's like, you are not the only one who's going to be first in this family. Tricked his own brother out of his birthright and his final blessing. But regardless of his past, God renamed him Israel and built a whole nation from him. We can talk about all of them. David, oh, now there is a man with quite a past on him. He took Uriah's wife, and then he figured, here's how we're going to solve this problem. We're going to put Uriah in the front line. We're going to have him shot dead, well, speared dead at that time. And then no one will know any better. But yet God called him a man after his own heart. We're not saying what they did was right. We're not saying what I've done is right. My past is my past. And I need to not let that hold me back, because then why would God keep me going every single day except to reclaim me and use me for his good? So what is it in your past that you need to concern yourself with so much that you fail to run the race? What I'm going to suggest that works for me, and I remind myself about this because I'm as failing as they come, hold on to Jesus, hold on to faith, leave your past behind, and as you run your race, don't concern yourself with the past. And the best way not to concern yourself with the past is to focus your mind on Jesus. Allow me to use myself as an example again, because I can't use all of you all, because, you know, embarrassment 101. But as I said, running does not come naturally to me. I'm older now, so I kind of know the benefits of running. So I will run every so often. I try to do about 3 miles. Not every day. I'd like to do every day. I haven't made a resolution yet. But in any case, when I run, I try to do 3 miles. And it takes everything in me to get through the first 10 minutes, which is about the first mile of my run. It takes everything. And with every step, I'm telling myself, home is closer, home is closer, home is closer. If I turn around, I'll have done half a mile. It's better than not sitting on the couch. All those 10 minutes, that's all I can think about. Home is closer. I should go home. So it takes everything in me to be able to do that first mile. And I talk myself out of running it. But the more I run, the more I've realized that I need to focus on something else other than this brain of mine that's telling me, quit, 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 go back home. So I listen to a favorite song, sing along, just so my thoughts are distracted. And I can always tell when that first mile is done, because something kind of loosens up in my body, and now I'm ready to go. Like, I don't have to psych myself into running anymore. So keep running forward is what then I remember to do. In this race of life, concern yourself, focus your mind on Jesus. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 tells us that he's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Praise and Worship sang another song today about perfection and completion. Perfect, as it's used in Hebrews 11 and 12, refers to completion. So the work of God started way back when, with the promise of Jesus. It completed with us receiving him. And so they didn't get to see it, right? Completion was us seeing Jesus and receiving him by faith. So God has promised you and me that he will be with us so that we can complete the race. I don't know about you, but I think that's a beautiful thing, right? Like, who's like God? Who's going to mess with God when he's on my side? And what foolishness would make me, and sometimes it makes me, step away from God, right? Because I wish I could tell you that I run this race, you know, comfortably, and I'm like, God, it's just me and you and all that. But what else would I want? And this is what I wish for all of you. Let's take that God is always on our side. He started the race, by the way. And if you know me, you kind of know, oh, he started the race. I have nothing to do with it. So you called me to it, helped me to run it. So I think it's a beautiful thing that God is with us. So as you run your race, focus your mind on Jesus and draw your strength from him. And then this, lean hard into the future. That's point number 6. Don't you love Kenyans? Right? I think I had like 6 pictures. Jose was like, really, you just need one. And I said, but I have one 3 times. No, you put one 3 times. I had 6. Like, anyway. When you look at runners, right, you'll notice something about their body. Allow me to backtrack a little bit here. If you've known me for a while, I have probably told you this. And I'll say this, and probably 5 of you will shake their heads because you know it's coming. One of the most fascinating books that I have read is a book called The Sports Gene, G-E-N-E. And the author kind of, I do a lot of research about sports. I just realized that, so I have no idea why. But the author of this Sports Gene book kind of has this question. And the question he asks is, are people so gifted in sports because of nature, you're built that way, or nurture, you practice? So there's the theory that if you practice 100,000 hours, you're going to be really, really good at what you do, regardless of whether you are intended to be that or not. But there's also the theory that some people are built that way. So you can practice 100,000 hours, but if you're 4'9", you're probably not going to play basketball, however good you are, right? Obviously, the post is way over there. The guys you're going to play against, you know, are like twice your height. So those kinds of things. And one of the things the book talks about is why Kenyans are long-distance runners. And this is, again, I find this book fascinating. Because he asks the question, why are people from the Caribbean better sprinters, but people from Kenya are better runners? So you can't say it's their race, right? Both black, you can't say it's their race. What is it about them? And then he goes into all these details about the way the body is made. And because the body is made this way, long legs, then you can run a longer distance. And if you look at people from the Caribbean, then they have, you know, much stockier, shorter legs, and that's why they're able to power through the sprinting. I hope I did the thing justice. But in any case, now I know why Kenyans are long distance runners and other people may not be as much. But when you watch a runner run, right, you can tell they're taking their next step because they're usually leaning forward, right? Nobody runs like this because you're pushing yourself back. You always lean forward. So lean hard into the future. Lean hard into the future. Again, if we're forgetting our past, we know where the goal is and we want to be going towards that goal. So lean hard into the future, even in this race of life. And in any case, right, we just talked about runners and you talked about how you know they're running forward. So when you see me, when I see you, when we're walking through this life, let's kind of help each other lean hard. So you're going through something today. The race is hard. I'm kind of that hill or I'm below way down there in the valley and I cannot see the future. My job is to help you do that as a friend and your job is to help me see where the future is as I go. So let's lean hard into the future. You know what else that does? It kind of, for me, indicates purpose, that I'm not just running to run any kind of way. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26, we do this, lean hard into the future, so we are not running aimlessly, because that's what the verse warns us against. Don't do things so that you're running aimlessly. And then don't just lean hard. Put your every thought, every motive, everything you have into this race. We all have a finite amount of time. Even if you live 90 years, it's still a short amount of time, right, to be here. So you and I must commit to living this life that God has given us with everything we've got. So lean hard into the future. Because I know you've been waiting, this is the last point. Expect a reward at the end of the race. God has promised us great, great things in our lives. More importantly, when this race is done, there's the prize that's been kept for you and me. We cannot attain the prize if we do not run our race. We cannot attain the prize if we do not prepare. We cannot attain the prize if we do not endure to the end. We cannot attain the prize by looking backwards. We cannot attain the prize if we lack purpose. We cannot attain the prize by focusing on any and everything. So we must focus on Jesus. Always know that there is a reward and run your race accordingly. Run today's race today. Prepare for the race. Run with endurance. What was the other one? Don't concern yourself with the past. Focus on Jesus. Lean hard into the future and expect a reward at the end of the race. And speaking of prizes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Eye has not seen, no ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. This is our theme verse for this year. This here is our theme verse for this year. You know what? Let's read it together. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Does it mean it'll be easy? No, it would be a lie to say that to you. It's not going to be new air all the way to the end. 2017 is going to be great. But it's going to be great because it's going to be up and down and up and down. And with every up, we will praise. And with every down, we will praise. 2017 is going to be great. Not because we make professions of this and that and that, and we should. But not because we say that with everything that we've got. No, 2017 is going to be great because God is on our side. Because he has promises for us. And we want those promises to come true in every one of our lives. And to help us remember what this theme verse stands for. Kind of have a phrase that will capture that, and we are calling this the year of flourishing. I think there should be a slide there, maybe not, I don't know. The year of flourishing, or the year to flourish. So that's what we are wishing. The leadership got together, and this is what we're praying for each and every one of us, that we may flourish. And I keep saying this because I've made that mistake when I hear a statement like that, and then I run into something and I'm like, wait, but I'm supposed to be flourishing. Yes, even in those things that are hard, I will flourish and you will flourish. Run your race, expect a reward, and know that God is on your side. Let me read a poem here that I think captures this. It's by Connie Campbell Bratcher. It's called Strength for the Race. God, give us the strength to run life's race and the stamina needed to keep the pace. God uses the circumstances we go through to condition us for what he calls us to do. He strengthens our hearts, souls, and minds, and lifts sin's weight that so easily binds, that we might run with honor and grace through those difficult obstacles we face. As we run, he is with us along the way, refreshing and supplying our need each day. If we focus on him and never look back, we'll always be running on the right track. Across the line is a crown to be received. For all we've accomplished and achieved, we'll accept it gladly when the race is complete. To lay at our wonderful trainer's feet, praise God with Christ as our coach divine. We don't have to wait for the finish line. Hallelujah, the victory is already won. We can rejoice right now as the race is run. And Father, we thank thee for thy saving grace that imparts to us strength for the race. So brothers and sisters, whatever it is you've resolved to do this year, whatever plan you have put in God's hand for your life, I encourage you to have faith and to run the race, knowing that God is with you always. And if you're here and you have not received Christ as your Savior, we invite you to do so at this time. This life is difficult and challenging enough as it is, but I can testify that when Christ is a part of your life, when you invite him to be Lord and Savior in your heart, this life takes on a new beautiful perspective. Your problems don't go away, and the challenges do not disappear, but you will change, and you will be able to see life in a whole new light. Do not run this race alone. There's no reason to. Jesus is asking to come into your heart so that he can make this journey with you, and he wants to run the race with you.